Before you get into this episode, I just want to say that I'm still in the process of the video. It's been an absolute disaster trying to get that ready. It's the first time I've done that type of style where I have two cameras and one camera my guest doesn't have the best lighting. And there's two different formats for the cameras, so I have to try to sync those together and exporting. It's just a disaster right now. Like, for example, I'm trying to upload this video and it's 36 gigabytes, so I'm trying to figure out a different way. It's a disaster. So the video is going to come out when it comes out. But in the meantime, I thought I'd get the audio out at the very minimum. So I hope you guys enjoy the first guest episode.
All right, so I'm excited about this episode. I'm joined by Matt Tolman, owner of Tolman Insulation and Home Improvement in Barre, Massachusetts. This is his first ever podcast, so
First one.
we're gonna kind of go with the flow and be asking some questions, and we're gonna just have a casual conversation and just see where it goes. So hopefully you guys get some value out of this. And if you need a construction company in the area, these are the guys to go to. So without further ado, I'm gonna get into the first question. So I kind of want to have you introduce yourself to the audience. So kind of talk about yourself a little bit and a little background on the business.
All right, so my name is Matt Tolman. I'm a third generation owner of Tolman Insulation and Home Improvements. My grandfather started it back in 69 with the oil crisis, and my father took over. We started getting into other things and took over, and I wanted to really grow a business and a label that the kids can be proud of, and the family. Talking about myself, I'm originally from Worcester, Massachusetts, and grew up there in the mean streets.
Mean streets of
You
Worcester.
know, got in a lot of trouble back in the day, but I kind of grabbed hold of this opportunity that was given to me, and here we are today.
I'm curious about this. Did you always have a passion for construction, or did you see your dad doing it and you're like, that's what I want to do?
Honestly, I didn't realize what it was. I didn't take serious interest in the business until my first son was born in 2006. I was in it since 99, but it was just a job. It paid for my after hours, extravaganzas. And but until when responsibility, fell into my lap, it was an eye opener. And then I really started taking interest. I really started seeing what it could be, you know what I mean? How much potential the construction business has. And if you put you I realize that if you put your nose, if anything you want to put the effort into will give back eventually,
It's just that working hard always comes back to that.
Yeah, it's it. That's it. It really does. I mean, I did love it. I loved working with my hands. I loved even doing insulation, like crawling in the nasty attics. I always would say, ah, it's not a job, it's an adventure. Just get it, because it's always something new, especially with insulation, the crawl spaces, you're running into crazy things, finding, I found, skulls, animal skulls. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But it kept me interested, I was like, oh, this is what the hell is going on here? And then the next one would be totally different, so I always did love getting dirty and then working with my hands. And then the best part when I really started getting into it was the customer satisfaction. To see the oh my God, oh, we'd get a call 2 weeks later from an older, from older couples or whatever have you, and saying, oh, we can't believe how much warmer it is in this house, and I keep using insulation because that's what we did a lot of, and those were the calls you love to get.
Putting a smile on people's faces,
right,
it comes down to.
Yeah,
so you got into construction or the business like completely in 2006 or right after your son was born. So what did you do before?
I was always in the construction
Okay.
business.
Did you have another job or?
Yeah, I worked. I did. When I first got in the business, I was doing, I was actually, I loved to draw, and I did, I was doing, construction because it paid the bills. And then I would try to, I would look up online, because that was when online first started, believe it or not. And I would fill out, I would draw comic books and send them out to like bigger companies like DC and Marvel. And I tried applying, never heard back. And I did a, a college course for about 6 months. And I says, you know what? It just wasn't paying the bills. And, no matter how much I heard my aunt and my grandmother in my ear saying to follow your dreams, don't ever give up. At that time, it was like, it doesn't pay. The term starving artist is, there's a reason they say that. So yeah, so I did that, and then I ended up getting a second job. I would work construction during the day, and then I'd work UPS twice shift at night, and that would be like the 6 to, I believe it was 6 to 12 crew or something. But I did that for 3 years.
And how many hours a day was that working?
Oh, I don't know. It was all I thought about was the check at the end of the week. You know, yeah, when you're young, I tell every young guy, I said, do it now while you get the energy, you know, because it does pay off, you know, as long as you could manage your money correctly, which I did not. But then I did that, and then I got out of that because construction picked up. When my old man had it, it was we always had a slow season, so I'd always look for a night job so I could work construction when we had the work, and then the night job was steady, guaranteed income, you know. And then I got a second part time job at Pizza Hut, and so I was doing the cooking at Pizza Hut after hours, and I would literally run to Pizza Hut from a construction job, covered in insulation, wash up in their sink, change my work shirt, and then go work at the line, flipping pizzas. Yeah, and I'd be there till 1, 2 in the morning, doing cleaning up, and then 6 in the morning, back at it, going to work at the construction. So
I respect the hell out of that. You know, I'm someone who needs a minimum 8 hours of sleep a night, or else I just can't function throughout the day.
I don't ever want to go back to where I was. I think I discussed this with you before, but I mean, when I first got, you know, when I first had my son, I was living in a one bedroom apartment with me and him alone. And I mean, it was so bad. We were eating nothing but noodles, and I didn't even have rent to pay. I was living in my grandfather's basement. He had a little one bedroom apartment. And I mean, we lived off noodles for about 6 months, just noodles every day. And because we had no work, my old man didn't want to work. And I mean, the Pizza Hut thing pretty much, you know, bought the noodles and paid the electric bill. and you know, at that time I was also, you know, quite a heavy drinker as well. So I can't say it was all just the economy. But you know, it's that I don't ever want to be back to that point where I'm pinching pennies just to make sure we got food in our bellies. Cause that's a scary, scary thing. And if I wasn't blessed with the family business, if this business, I don't know what would have happened. You know, I was very lucky to have this business, you know, available to me.
That's insane. Cause you hear so many successful people talk about how they started from the legit bottom, you know, like eating noodles like you for 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they slowly, just day by day, they take the two hands and they get the work, and you know, yeah, one foot in front of the other.
You know, and for the longest time, I felt like it was, you know, it's got to change. And that's kind of what motivated me a lot me and my old man fought every day on the job because we disagreed on how he was running it, and I wanted to do it one way, he wanted to do it the other, and you get that a lot in family businesses. And but I could see the potential, you know, but that's a lot of what motivated me was like, I always thought in my head, you hear people say it doesn't happen overnight, but I was always like, oh, you know, if we can do so much more, and it doesn't. But it's so funny that I'm thinking this now, because I was just thinking of it too, like a couple days ago, that it doesn't, this, I was thinking about where I am right now, and it really doesn't happen overnight. It takes years and years and years of hard work and constant grinding. You know what I mean? And it's a lot more often than not. You feel like you're failing at everything you're doing, but if you can overdo that, you know, if you can get beyond that and realize that tomorrow's another day, then you could just, things start to change slowly.
You mentioned the way you mentioned that. So my big thing is like, if I'm not like working or something, like I wake up in the morning, it's like, I don't feel like going to the gym. I don't feel like working today. And then I just immediately think, it's like, someone else is already like at the gym. Someone else is already putting in the work.
Right.
That's my motivation. Cause someone's trying to be better than me. And it's like, I got to outwork that person. So I kind of have a standard, like, where I always think of like someone's working right now, like in the same field as me, and they're outworking me, and that's what motivates me, right, to get up in the morning. Are you kind of the same way?
Well, you know, I think that's a dangerous way to look at it, mm-hmm, because there's not always going to be that person to compare. I don't think, I mean, everybody has their own motivation, and whatever does it for you, you know. But I think you have to just be better than you were yesterday. You know what I mean? You know, if you, if you hold yourself to someone else's standards, I feel like you can always, you're leaving way too much room to let yourself down. You know, you're all, you know, and I think you should be proud of who you are today and not, and just strive for better the next day. You know, I can't tell you how many days I have where I get up and I'm like, oh my God, I don't gotta go do this again. And nothing's gonna change. I tell myself, why am I gonna do all these meetings? Like, that's a big thing now, the meetings, because I'm no longer in the field. I'm in the office and I got an office staff now with a lot of management skill. They come from a good background and they're always like, oh, we're meeting. And I'm just like, oh, but at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, we actually got a lot accomplished. And I feel accomplished, you know. And it's just so, for the, I think I got off point there.
No, you're right on point.
Sorry.
So I came in last week and I met your team. You guys had like a team meeting. How often do you do those, by the way?
We try to shoot for once a month with the management, but we're cut it down because of the size of us. We're cutting it down to let's do quarterly team meetings. And then, you know, if problems arise, we have a big thing, we're trying to make a transition, and there's a lot of guys not happy with how we're handling it. So I called an emergency team meeting for next week. You know, so I'm the door's always open to everybody if they want to come talk to me. I try to keep that personal level a lot, you know, existing for them, but it's tough with the more guys we get. So, you know, I always leave the doors open to the guys, but if there's something that I think that we should all, you know, get together and I want them all to feel, everyone should feel like they're part of it. You know, I want them to know they're part of the decision making. I'm not just up here dictating how things are going to be. I want everyone to be happy, and if everyone's not happy, then I will do our best to make sure they are. I mean, it's impossible to make everyone happy, but
as simple as that sounds, is trying to make everyone happy. There's so many business owners and that just are in it for the money. They don't care about their employees' like well-being. All they want is the next dollar bill.
Or their customers,
you know, too.
Which you see all the time. It drives me nuts, which is one of the things that motivates me to be better, you know, is because we call Verizon, call Charter. Oh my God, before I even speak to someone, I want to hang the phone up.
I know, they just sound that monotone voice. They're excited.
Oh, we're so sorry. We're so sorry for your inconvenience. No, you're not. You don't give a shit. If you were sorry, you would have answered the phone 20 minutes ago when I started the automated survey. Or you would have, you know, it's ridiculous. So honestly, that's one of my big things is I try to tell all my customers, you know, we're here for you. Call us. If I'm not available, the office staff is available. If they're not available, the installer is available to you. The supervisor is available to you. So, you know, I don't ever want to be like that, you know, automated service, bah humbug.
And that adds up, you know, the more customers that you know, deal with, you have empathy for, the more they're likely going to tell their friends and stuff about you. Like, oh, I called up Tolman. They did a great job. They're super nice to me. That's just like, it builds a reputation for your brand. And you hear there's real estate. Like, I'm in real estate and there's so many real estate agents that are just in it for the money. And, you know, their clients can see that.
Yeah.
They can just see that because they're not empathetic towards them.
But there's a real fine line though. I'm learning the longer I go is you. There are even some people that take it, just like you say, you can't make everyone happy, but there are some people that try to take advantage of your kindness as well, all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, you go above and beyond for those people, at least you feel you do, and they're just, you know, it's just like anybody else out there, you know, there's just real, it's a fine line, but then you feel like a jerk when you got to draw that line in the sand, and they're like, I can't believe you're treating me like this, and it's like, come on, how much more do you want? You want the blood? You want my firstborn? You know, it's crazy. It's tough. It's tough to make that call, you know, especially when you are a good guy and you want to do the right thing, you know.
My big thing is like kindness will always win out. Obviously, there's going to be those bumps along the road where you have that one customer who just doesn't, you know, respect your kindness. They're you know, a dick to you or whatever the case may be, but it's always going to win out in the end. That's the key to winning, I think. Being successful in business is kindness.
Yeah, helps you sleep. You know, if you know you did everything you can,
yeah,
you're sleeping all right at night.
Okay, I'll move on to the next customer.
Right. Yep. Move it. That's a big, I love that. Moving on.
Yeah.
It's a big line. And I find myself using that so much. But, you know, one of the things is my project supervisor, Brian, for instance, he's always been just like me, grew up in the trade, on the roofs, in the field, swinging a hammer. Now I've created the position in the company where he can be my project supervisor, my project manager. Boy, is he out of his element. You know, but one of the things I'm trying to tell him to the point is, you know, hey, I know this customer is giving you a hard time. Moving on. we're off that job. You know, three days later, you're still talking about that job. Moving on. I love that line.
The thing is, even with the customer that's, you know, kind of a jerk to you, you can't be a jerk back to them because that could come back and haunt you. Like
my grandfather used to say, or no, my father used to say to me, difficult customers, if you can make them happy and they talk well about you, all the people in their circle know who they are, how they are, know that they're difficult. And if they talk well about you, they wow, if he made him happy, phew, you know. And I that's another thing that I try to keep in mind. Sometimes though, that gets lost. You know, that was easier for me to maintain that mindset when it was me on the job sites with two or three guys working the job with me. I could keep that. I'm gonna make this guy happy no matter what I gotta do. But when you got 12 customers calling and 60 customers, potential customers that you're dealing with on the phone, that mindset's very hard to keep. Sometimes I do find at a certain point, but it's right though. It's 100% fact. You know, yeah. If you can make those people happy, everyone's gonna see that.
And we started this like section talking about the team. Your team. So, like, what does your team mean to you? Like, what does that word like mean to you? Like, without a team, obviously, you're not gonna be successful.
Right. It really. You're 100% right. And that's part of why I have those meetings. Is I want everyone to know it's part of a team. It's part. And I honestly substitute the word team with family. I want to build a family group of guys, which means that I'm trusting you to do what's needed to be done. I'm trusting you to run this job site and to treat my customers with my name on you're representing my name, my family name. So it's difficult, first of all, to take something you've built and hand it to a guy and say, hey, go represent me, you know, without doing it yourself and micromanaging it. That's one of the hardest things. But it everybody has their part to play in a team, and if one of the members of that team drop the ball, it's up to the other members of the team to help them pick it up or make that play for them. And I see a lot of that happening in my team, in my family. And I think that's what team is carrying each other to the finish line.
To answer the question, I guess that was the long answer.
Yeah, I love that answer, though. I love that. And I think sometimes people get put in a bad situation. Say you're like in a corporate office or whatever, you know, you got like 300 employees, and some of them might not be in the right situation where their strength is. And you kind of like, before you go on to like fire that person, you kind of have to be like, think to yourself, like, oh, maybe they're better off in accounting or whatever. Maybe they're not meant for the management side of things. So I think that's another thing, because sometimes if someone's underperforming, they might not be best suited for that position.
Right. Yep. And that's 100%. And that's something I've learned in now that I'm behind the desk, you know, that's something I've started to see is, you know, before working, you know, running the job site, you're sitting up there from the stage, you go, God damn, come on, let's go, give me my 7 o'clock, what are you doing, you moron, you know, but now that I'm here, I can sit back and I can say, all right, you know what, maybe this guy shouldn't be doing finish work, he's way better of a siding guy, you know, things, and 100%, and honestly, that's something that's on the agenda for us to really set back. Now that we have all these guys and all these crews, we need to figure that out. That's something. There's skill matrix, you know, and properly put them where their best position played. Like a shortstop's gonna play shortstop.
You've had a lot of success with this business over recent years, and I'm just very curious, like, what do your clients mean to you?
Oh, without the clients, there's no business.
And you kind of reiterated how, you know, it's one of the best things about this business is seeing their smile at the end when they finish the job. So
yep, you know, my grandfather used to say, you want to show a customer you care about the work you're doing, you make sure you leave the house cleaner than it was before you started. And I keep that in mind to this day. I want all my customers to be happy. I want all my customers to know that one of my selling points is, you know, you invite us into your home, I have an office in my home. If anytime you want to come by, go over samples, go have a coffee. Tell me about, you know, your brother you want, that upset, anything. And just come by, shoot the shit. And you know, they're welcome to. You know, I want that. They're part of my family as well. The family business I'm building, the family core I'm building, my clients are as well. You know, and that I want them to feel like they are. They're the most important part of it.
Yeah, without making them happy, you're not going to be happy.
Right. I won't survive. You know, if it wasn't for the clients, then I wouldn't be where I am today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we actually, you kind of had that same answer for one of the videos, which is great. I think I just posted it yesterday. And that was one of my favorite like segments, is that because you mentioned how if you invite us into your home, I'll invite you into my home.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's appreciated amongst all the clients. Like, you know, this guy's like, you know, down to earth. And as someone I want to have working on my house.
Yeah.
So I think that goes a long way.
It's one of the hardest parts of the job is because, I mean, I'm no longer on the job, but I am still handling sales ends of it. And one of the hardest parts is I can't, you know, so many times I go into people's homes and they're telling me how they gave this guy a deposit, never heard back from him. This guy came in, started the work, never finished it. But he got paid in full. You know, and there's a trust level there that I'm already starting down here and I need to be up here. You know, it's because you can't start a job without money down, and to ask somebody for that, for I'm sorry, but you know, I need to ask you for a deposit to get the material and to get the job on. And it's hard, especially, you know, I've ran into some very, very difficult situations where I've been so mortified by what their experience were with previous, you know, contractors. They shouldn't even be allowed to swing a hammer. I won't take a deposit. So, you know what? We're going to take care of you. Once we get started though, then we'll talk, you know, and I'll show you. And that's the tool I use is you know, come to my home. Let me show you I am so confident in what we can do for you and that we'll make you happy or do our best to make you happy, because God knows you can't make them all happy. But that I'll show you where I live. I'll have you come down to my home and sit and meet my kids and meet my wife. You know, and you know, it's a huge tool.
And I think it goes back to the empathy. You know, you just gotta try to feel what the client's feeling in that situation, and you know, step into their shoes.
Yeah,
that's one of my big things, is I try to step into people's shoes. Like when I'm, you know, thinking about, like, if, for example, you, I'm posting these posts on all these platforms, and I'm trying to think, like, what does the audience want to see? Like, what would they want to know about this business if I was them? And I think you can relate the same way. It's like, okay, what does this client want from me? Like,
right.
Like, and how am I going to be able to meet their dreams and goals for their home?
Yeah, well, you get that vibe after doing it as long as I have. You know, I get pretty good vibes, a pretty good read on people, and I can tell if they're not comfortable, you know, and I do my best to make them comfortable. And one of the big things I try to, I shouldn't have said it's a tool. You worded it perfectly, where it's empathy for their position they're in. And like, you know, I feel like I can see if they're not very comfortable with me. And I might try to make a little wise ass comment, make them laugh a little bit. And I find that helps a lot, you know, cause, you know, my mother will tell you, I am a smart ass. So it comes naturally. But at the same time, with that hand, you gotta recognize if you're in another person's home, they're strictly to the point. You know, my uncle told me, he was a professor at a college in business, and he says, you know, people mainly want to hear three things from you, and what you have to offer, how much money you can save them, and how fast you can get it done. And so I try to keep that in mind as well. But you know, a lot of times, especially out in the towns, you know, they want to be on that personal level with you.
I love the three points you just made with your uncle. I think that's something I could take, you know, and take into account and use in my own life and business. So I'm gonna start wrapping it up. So the last question is, you grew up in Worcester. So what does this local community mean to you?
So this area, the community means the world. It really does. You don't see enough of it anymore. People that care about the community. I mean, that's kind of why I came out to where I am now in Barry. It's another world compared to the Worcester. I mean, when I grew up in Worcester, you know, all the neighbors, we'd get a snowstorm. We live on a dead end street. There was no parking on a good day. Snowstorms, forget about it. But everyone came out the next morning and helped everybody clear the old, you know, the older people clear out the older neighbors clear off their cars and snowblow their areas and shovel off their driveway. Everyone helped everyone in a storm. Then by the time I said I've had enough, it was a free for all. No one cared. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I shoveled out five spots for because I had my box truck, because it was just, you know, and then I came home from work, every spot was taken. Well, that next day I went out with my snowblower and I buried every one of those cars. but you know, and that's what's out here. That's why I wanted to get out of the city, part of it. I mean, there was a lot of other stuff going on, but I come out here and I was doing work and this is old town USA. You know, everybody's kind. It's like living in a lake community. They're driving by. I don't even know these people. They're waving. Everyone, you know, you drive by. Yeah. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are a few, but there's always going to be that. But I love it. You know, I mean, I'm out here snow blowing last winter, and an officer stops by. Hey, I didn't even know they knew who I was. Hey, Mr. Dolman, you all set? You good?
You know me.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't do anything. It's awesome. You know, that's really awesome. And I went down to the police station. I had an interview with the chief, and they actually, as I was leaving, they said, hey, we just want to let you know that you have a great name in this precinct. And you know, we see the work you do around town. And for that to come from people that are supposed to be held at a higher standard, a big part of the community, meant the world. It really did. I thought that was really cool. But so community means a lot. And I want to instill that in my kids. You know, it really does. I go on and on.
I mean, it's already half an hour. It doesn't feel like it's flown by.
Yeah, it did. We kind of flowed through this.
Yeah. But I would love to do another episode. I still have more questions to ask, but I'm going to wrap it up right here.
Yeah.
That would be great, because I'm sure the audience, your Facebook audience especially, because they seem, what I've noticed from your Facebook audience so far is that they love you. You know, they're always liking your posts. They're sharing your posts. They want to know what's going on with you. So your audience will probably love another episode, because they get to learn more about you. But I just want to thank you for coming on this podcast. I truly appreciate that. And I think we had some good conversations.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. I was nervous.
Yeah, you got nervous first one in the books. There, first one in the books. It gets easier from here.
But it was pretty cool. It was it's different. And I mean, I guess I enjoy talking about myself more than I thought.
Everyone does, not just you.
Well, thank you very much.
So where can people find you? Website?
Yeah, they can find us at Tolman Insulation and HomeImprovement.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. I believe we're on Instagram now.
YouTube.
And, we're putting the feelers out there. So, you know, and we're easy to find. Always available.
And I'll put the links in the description to the social media platforms, so you can just, you know, one click and you're there. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I truly appreciate that. Hope you guys got value out of this episode. And, you know, this is a really good episode, and I'm looking forward to the next one. So thank you, Matt.
And I am too. Thank you very much.